everybody, and welcome back into the Sorry to Interrupt podcast. It's episode 420, and Tom, it's a throwback, bro. It's just you and me tonight for a rundown, a little NBA, a little PGA. You get to make fun of me again with golf picks. How you doing, sir?
I'm doing well, man. My team's doing well in the playoffs, and we're doing a Monday rundown on a Tuesday, not because we're late, which is, I love that. I love doing Monday rundowns on a Tuesday for a good reason.
I love the fact that we have to do a Monday rundown on a Tuesday because we were too busy doing another time-sensitive pod.
Exactly. Exactly. We got the draft coming up. We put basically two draft pods out today. If you guys didn't listen, head on over. Shout out to Frenchie again. Will be back soon. We just didn't have anything for him to talk about today, but he'll be back tomorrow, actually. We'll be talking about Full Swing, and then obviously we're picks boss. So let's jump right in. Let's talk about the Knicks, man.
Yeah, man. I mean, we're talking NBA playoffs. It's been an eventful first game or two games, depending on what series we're talking about. But, man, I got to open the floor to you. What an unbelievable game two. And there's some magic in the garden right now, man. I mean, Knicks are up 2-0. What are your thoughts on the series so far?
I'm loving everything that everybody but Brunson is doing. I mean, they ramped it up for the playoffs. DiVincenzo's been playing amazing. He missed that three. And then just to come back and fire after he short-armed one and nail it at the end of the game was huge. Josh Hart, obviously, is just the perfect Nick, and we said that when we got him last year. He's been incredible. Mitchell Robinson is just putting Embiid, you know, like, you're not going to stop the guy, and I know he's hurt, but he's doing such a good job, as well as Hartenstein, although he needs to stay out of foul trouble. OGs, everybody's been amazing, but Brunson, I could go up and down the roster, and that's the only thing that has me concerned, is that I understand Brunson's had playoff success in the past and whatnot, but he's in a different point in his career and expected to do different things, and that's the reason why I'm concerned.
I think that the commonality that I have when we use the word concerned is I think there's a lot of differences in how I view that term and how, you know, like Will's been using it with Judge and you with Brunson. Like, if he was the reason you were losing and you were down 0-2 and he was putting up a shit show, and you'd say if you just played well in one of those games, we would be in a much different situation, I would totally get it. But that's not the situation. You're up 2-0 in a series where he hasn't played well. He had one of the best years of any Knicks point guard. He easily was probably – he's going to finish in the top 10 in the MVP for sure.
I agree.
And he had a stretch this year where he wasn't playing 100% great. But this shows what kind of team that you are, where on two consecutive games at home where your best player didn't show up, if that was last year's postseason, if that was 2021's postseason, yeah, you're down 0-2 in the series. There's no doubt about it. We saw Randall have a couple bad games, and they were directly correlated with Knicks losses. I'm not concerned about Brunson at all. He's going to get his. This is about the New York Knicks and being up 2-0 in this series, despite the fact that your best player hasn't played amazing.
There's a big difference between the Judge thing and that. It's early on in the season and whatnot. Two totally different things, but the reason why I'm concerned is because we need more out of Brunson on the road. We got to win this series on the road. I mean, that's the only thing that concerns me, is that these bench players, or I wouldn't even call them bench players, but non-stars, they always play better at home. So I'm right. A little concerned because I need more on the road. But hey, we've played two games. We're 2-0. I'll have to see what he does on the road.
Yeah, and I think that if you want to have the conversation, hey, he didn't play well, and I expect him to play better on the road, or we need him to play better on the road because role players don't. Okay, yeah, I'm willing to definitely agree with that. The level of concern based off two games, based off of what his sample size has been in a Knicks uniform, I just can't. I can't say I'm concerned.
I'd be very happy to eat my words on whenever they play again. Probably.
Yeah, and kind of like with Will, it's like he's like, I'm concerned about Judge. It's like, well, are you concerned that he's going to have a bad year? Are you concerned that his career's ending? Are you concerned
I'm not over here saying the sky's falling. Obviously, I don't expect the Knicks to win, you know, anything past this round. Realistically, I don't even know if the Knicks are going to win, but in this series alone, that's why I'm concerned. Obviously, I think Brunson is still the biggest steal of the last 10 years when it comes to free agency and whatnot. It's just a little concerning for this series when your star player doesn't play well in the first two games. That's all.
Yep, and you're up 2-0. So DiVincenzo, what a shot that was. That kind of like looked back at like the Larry Johnson shot against Indiana in 99. Like, that's how far back you have to go for great Knicks playoff moments. But man, you have to be amazed. I mean, Hartenstein getting that rebound, just completely abusing Embiid. I know the Sixers were bitching and moaning about Nurse not getting a timeout called, and the two-minute report showed that there were a couple fouls that weren't called. The 76ers are sounding like a bunch of babies. And for a team that's saying, we're the better team and we expect to win, their body language and their quotes say exactly the opposite. They're scared of the Knicks. And the takeaways that I have from the first two games is they're not physical enough to handle the Knicks. They're not taking punches. Yeah, they're a talented team. Maxey can go off like we had last night. And Embiid's going to do his thing, even though it's a little bit laborious for him. The Knicks are just a harder fighting, grittier, tougher team that in the playoffs is going to make one more winning play than I think the 76ers can. I don't expect this to be a sweep, Tom, but the Knicks show to me what they've been all year, which is a grittier, mentally tougher team than their opponent on a normal night.
Listen, let's win one game on the road and take it in six. That's all I'm asking for.
Yeah, as you should. I gotta tell you though, it has to be fun for you. It has to be fun.
Of course it is, and I'm a little perspective, of course, as a Knicks fan, as I'm freaking out over Brunson here. I mean, I am enjoying every second of this. It's really been electric.
Good. I just want to make sure you're enjoying it as much as you should, because last night was from a completely unbiased situation. That was incredible. Moving over to another series that I don't know. What's the over-under on 3,000 people that are watching this series that are non-Magic or Cavs fans?
This series got me, man. Let me tell you what this series is. Not that either of us care, like you just said. This is the Knicks and the Atlanta Hawks of a few years ago, where the Magic are like the Knicks, where they just played so much harder than their opponents, and they took advantage of the defensive rules change. And listen, were the Hawks at the time anything special? No, but they were a, like you like to say, battle-tested team with some star players that can score in the playoffs. Cavs, they are nothing special. They're not going to make it past this round. But again, the Magic are like that Knicks team where they were playing way above their head, and then Donovan Mitchell's over here like, you would have fucking thought these guys were going to beat me.
I love that comp.
Thank you.
That's a great comp. Yeah, I completely am in your corner on that. The Magic are a team that can punk a lot of teams in the regular season, and they did, because they're a defensive juggernaut, and you know there's enough rock fights during the course of the regular season. You're catching teams that aren't playing their best players, some back-to-backs, all that good stuff. I'm not taking anything away from what the Magic have done, but going into this postseason, Tom, we outlined, how can they win? Well, they need somebody who can score the basketball on a somewhat regular basis. And through the first two games, it's very apparent that they just straight up don't have that, which we kind of knew. Suggs left last night with an injury. I don't know what to the extent is, but they're going to go back home 0-2. And to me, maybe they steal one game, but this is a very much happy to be here kind of series for them.
No doubt about it. I should have seen it coming. I'm not going to make that mistake again with the too early team that's better than most defensively, because they're just playing a hell of a lot harder. Not to take anything away from them, but
nope. When
you move into the playoffs, it's just a different ballgame when everybody plays at the same intensity level. And honestly, it's a good sign for the Magic, my last point. I mean, again, this is where the Knicks were a few years ago, and look at the Knicks now. So if you go out and you make the right decisions in free agency and in the draft, maybe someday, Magic fans, you can be the Knicks and be chewing your fingernails through every single first-round game against a broken Sixers team.
There you go. I mean, hey, got to shoot for something, right? I think you're 100% right. They have a lot of money to spend. Somebody will go there. They'll trade for somebody. They'll bring someone in via free agency. They'll do both. They need scoring, but their defensive nucleus is very much intact, and Paolo's only going to get better. As for the Cavs, I am in complete agreement with you. Have fun winning this series. It's not going to change a damn thing. They're going to get waxed in the next round anyway. So, hey, Mitchell's going to at least win a playoff series, and that's more than you can say about them last year when they ran into your Knicks.
Exactly. So at least they'll get that one. They got the luck of the draw when it comes to that. Moving on to the next one, the Bucks are up 3 in game 2 on the Pacers. It's way too early to call that one. We're not even at halftime yet. It's been a low scoring playoffs, kind of as expected. I expected the Knicks to actually have lower scoring games, believe it or not. But for me, this one, the Pacers haven't been playing nearly as well since the play-in tournament, and then the Bucks are just the better team.
They are. They're a much better team in this matchup.
The earlier they win the series, the better. By the way, sorry to interrupt you, because Giannis, and the better they off they are when Giannis isn't playing and they're winning.
No, well said. I'm glad you made that point. Yeah, Giannis isn't playing. He may not play in this entire series. Win this series early, and then go, and then obviously go get some rest, and you're okay. I think two is when you look at the Pacers, since Halliburton's come back from his injury, what was that, a month or a month and a half ago, he's just not been the same player that we saw in the in-season tournament or the first half of the season. And their defense just continues to show why it is a crime. I mean, talk about opposites attracting. You got the Magic defense that's awesome but can't score. You got this Pacers team that defensively is a sieve, but they can put up points. But if they're not putting up points, you know they're not going to stop anybody. I found this stat interesting. Lillard had 35, but he had all 35 in the first half. He didn't score a single point in the second half, which I found fascinating. But when you look at this series overall, maybe the Pacers get a game or two. But yeah, it behooves Milwaukee to win this series and win it fast.
Yeah, and the Pacers just need a lot more pieces. I like the Siakam move, but like you said, they have zero defensively. And yeah, if the Magic and the Pacers had a baby, they'd have probably a championship team, or at least a top four team.
Absolutely true. The last series here, Boston, they killed Miami in game one. Jimmy Butler's out for the series with his knee issue.
Not much to say here.
There's not, right? You expect Boston. I know it's Miami-Boston for the third year in a row. This is not the same Miami team. Boston should kill them, and if game one's any indication, that they will.
Yeah, don't play with your food, as our boy Willie Smith, as Dr. Will Smith would say.
Dr. Will Smith, yes,
PhD.
Absolutely.
Is it a PhD? No, MD. I'm sorry, he's an MD.
MD. No PhD is what fucking Frenchie's doing.
Yeah, Frenchie's. Well, we got two doctors on the podcast. Not too many people can say that.
That's a fair point.
All right, let's move into the Western Conference. I don't feel bad, but it's got to hurt as Lakers when Anthony Davis and LeBron James are giving you everything they can. And they're getting some quality minutes out of D'Angelo Russell, who came out firing last night, Reeves, a few others. They're giving them all they got, and no matter what, the Nuggets are still good game, bad game. Jokic is getting quadruple teamed. Doesn't matter. The supporting cast is going to take over. It's got to be demoralizing.
Demoralizing is the perfect word to use. I mean, Russell in game one was absolute garbage. So it was good to see him come out firing in game two. Yeah, LeBron and Davis, that's been the story. And that's kind of what the story was in the Western Final last year. And it didn't matter because Denver's just better. I mean, when Jamal Murray hits that shot, you even heard LeBron after the game say, like, yeah, as soon as he put it up, I knew it was in. That's just, they're good enough to be right there. They're just not good enough to win. Denver's 10-0 against the Lakers in their last 10 matchups, obviously including six postseason games. So it's got to suck for the Lakers, and they're going to lose this series, and you're going to say, man, are they really deserving of being out? Are there four teams that are absolutely better in the Western Conference than the Lakers when they play their best? Maybe not, but it doesn't matter. And you look at the revolving door of the Hachimuras and the Reeves and the Spencer Dinwiddies and the Vanderbilts, like they just don't have enough consistency from that supporting cast, man.
Yeah, and it's a shame because they're really in purgatory here, because it's like, are you going to go out and make a move for, obviously not a Kyrie, he seems to be happy, but that type of player where you think you need a third star or an upgrade from D'Angelo Russell. I don't even think that does enough for them to beat a Denver or even a Minnesota team or anybody like that that's on the rise next year.
No, I don't either, because Denver's not going anywhere, and the teams that you mentioned, the OKCs, the Minnesotas, I would put New Orleans in that category. They're just going to get better and better and better. So I think that the Lakers, they capitalized on their window in the bubble. They got the win. Like I said, they're good enough to hang with these teams, but they're not good enough to beat them. Do you think they get a game in L.A., or is this a four-game sweep?
I think it's a four-game sweep. I think the Lakers are giving them their best shot in Denver. I mean, I don't can't really say anybody on that Lakers team played badly given their role, and they lost. So I think it's a clean sweep.
Yeah, I think so too. I think Denver's just going to go for the jugular. And again, any rest that they can get helps too. Obviously, Murray, who's had an injury-riddled last few years, any impact you can take off of Jokic and Porter and Aaron Gordon, any rest would be beneficial for them. We move over to the Timberwolves and the Suns. Right now, we are in the third quarter with Minnesota up one in game two. They took game one on the back of Anthony fucking Edwards, man.
Yeah, he's incredible talking shit. It was amazing. I have the Suns in the pick of the day today and an alternate spread. I think that they're going to be able to nab one game. I'm just trusting the stars. If they don't get a win today, I think it's stick a fork in them. They're losing in five and just packing it in.
Yeah. Cat picked up his third foul early in the first quarter, which was an interesting coaching decision by Finch, who's, I think, an excellent coach. But what I saw in game one was a Phoenix team that had their defense absolutely crumble. And if that happens again, we are looking at potentially a short series because Minnesota's younger, they're more athletic. And if you get somebody like Ant who just catches fire, I mean, you just saw Phoenix looking around at each other like, what are we supposed to do? And that's the kind of what we saw all year. They've been able to stop it and put a Band-Aid on it at times. But overall, man, I just don't think that their defense is consistent enough. I'm still picking them to win this series. But if Minnesota comes out of here up 2-0 heading back to the desert, that might change my pick.
I mean, I picked two different picks on two different days, so I'm just going to go with
that
whatever I'm feeling.
Talk about the ultimate hedge.
Yeah, no, it was a slick move by me. Unintentional, but slick. So I'm rolling with whoever's got the lead right now. So I guess Minnesota. Clippers beat the Mavs. The whole public, the whole world was on the Mavs, and then James Harden and PG come out. I'm looking at it, this might be a little bit more of a back and forth than we expected. And again, the more games the Clippers win with Kawhi not playing, the better.
Yeah, and in full transparency, I wrote up these notes in the afternoon. And when you have somebody like Kawhi, you never know what happens because the Clippers aren't going to say a goddamn thing. And Kawhi's not going to say a goddamn thing. And then this evening, Shams tweeted out that he is expected to play in game two. How limited will he be? I have no idea. I do believe that makes a huge change for the series. I was very surprised and impressed with the Clippers and really, really disappointed with the Mavs. Like Simmons said it on their pod with Russillo. Like, did they just not know that the playoffs started and that the other team is going to try a little bit harder? Like, Luka was doing a lot of bitching and moaning. Him and Kyrie still got their points, but I'll tell you what, man, Zubac really handled Gafford. And if that's something that neutralizes Gafford, the Mavs are all of a sudden not going to be able to play the way that they did down the stretch when they were winning a lot of games.
Yeah, they need to be doing some more pick and roll with Gafford and just putting Zubac in a blender. I mean, I don't understand why they weren't doing a high pick and roll the entire game. But they were asleep. And, you know, I don't really like their coaching, but we'll see. We'll see if Luka and Kyrie can wake up and carry him. I mean, they both do have playoff success. Luka way more recently, but I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt after that game.
So do they win game two tonight?
No, not with Kawhi playing. I think this one goes six, and I think the Clips take it at this point.
Okay.
If Kawhi is playing,
hey,
we'll see. He might play for 5 minutes.
Right. You never know. I mean, and the one thing you are guaranteed is that in this series, however many games it goes, you're going to have one to two great Harden games. We got the great Harden game in game one. And you're going to have one to two awful Harden games where he poops the bed. And you just hope if you're a Clipper fan that that's not coming in a elimination game.
Yeah, you just got to hope that the game that he decides to poop the bed, Kawhi is healthy and plays like Kawhi, and PG just takes over. And Harden, somehow, it's like one of those, you know, sneaks a ring in at the end kind of careers, like a Gary Payton kind of.
Gary Payton. All right. Thunder, they win a close game against the Pelicans in game one, 94-92. in this game. The defense of New Orleans was very impressive. Obviously, they're playing without Zion. I kind of am seeing a little passing of the guard, man. Brandon Ingram played much better in this game than he played in the two play-in games, but I think we're starting to see the Trey Murphy and Herb Jones show, which might make Brandon Ingram a little bit expendable down there in New Orleans.
A little bit. I'd say very expendable. Where is he going? I don't know. Maybe reunited with the Lakers. They want another scorer. Just stirring up some rumors. But, yeah, he does look a little more expendable. And Zion's got a hamstring. I don't know what the hell that means for him. Usually it's one of the injuries that you're a little bit more okay with hearing just because rest brings the guy back usually, but it's Zion.
Depending on the severity.
Yeah, so, and again, it's Zion. So, I mean, outside of Kawhi, that guy's got more question marks than anybody. So I think if the Pelicans will make this a series, if they can get him back, if not, I mean, Thunder don't really have, the Pelicans need to start trying to beat up on Chet.
Yeah, you'd like to see them exploit that a little bit more than they did in game one, right? And because they don't have the size. Oklahoma City does not have the size in the front court that even without Zion, I mean, you're going to have to face Valanciunas.
Valanciunas can get buckets too, and he's a solid free throw shooter. So I think that they should, I'm not saying run the entire offense through him, but in a few minute spurts to try and draw a couple fouls at the very least on Chet.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. I think that that's something we might have to pay attention and look for as the series goes on. But that was a good win for OKC. They get momentum. They win game one. SGA was really good. Jalen Williams was awesome. So let's see how this series continues. I still expect this series to be a really close one. I still think this one goes 6 or 7.
I agree with you. All right, you ready to talk some PGA?
I know you are. Let's do it.
Well, you and I had a text exchange that we had to talk about because you tried to say, oh, well, I didn't pick Scotty. So I did some math, Sean, and I took out Scotty from my picks, and I replaced him with the 69th player, which was the final player to win the tournament, and did my picks versus your picks on that, and I still beat you. So anything to say?
Yeah, you're definitely misconstruing what I said. And that shows a little bit of insecurity on your part, which is sad because you're kicking my ass. You shouldn't be insecure at all. All I was simply pointing out was I didn't pick Scotty because I didn't think he was gonna play the whole weekend. That was not in any way, shape, or form me trying to.
Not only did he play the whole weekend, he played Monday too.
Scotty, the rest of my picks were terrible. It doesn't matter what I do. I'm in just such a funk. I feel like Gleyber Torres or Aaron Judge at the plate right now. Like this is not good, Tom. I almost feel like I need a rest week where I just don't do anything. Particularly as we're only, 3 weeks away from the next major. So I feel terrible about what I'm doing. Me not taking Scotty had nothing to do with me losing. I feel bad and dumb that I didn't take Scotty simply off the contingency that I didn't think he was going to play the whole tournament. But, hey, it is what it is. The rest of my picks weren't good enough to win anyway.
So I'm not going to go up and down the picks, but you finished at 32.75. I was going to be tough to beat regardless. I finished at 8.25. So anytime that you can get an average pick inside the top 10, I think that's pretty damn good in this game. That's probably up there for one of the higher just total placements. So to go over the scores, I am leading after getting 4 points this week, 17-8. There's three majors remaining, which I can't remember. I think we decided that the majors are worth 3 points.
Yeah, it's three.
I'll have to listen. Yeah, okay. Well, it's getting late early, but you still have time to make up. Maybe you and Will should do a combined pick after this week or something.
Yeah, we can do a combined pick. He can make all the picks, and I'll just say that I was.
Sure, that's fine.
I mean, honestly, bro, like, it's a disgrace. And as somebody who doesn't gamble and bet, like, normally I don't care, but listening to you guys just tear me to shreds on Picks Boss on Friday, like, it really is. Like, I felt bad.
I'm
just
sorry,
embarrassed, man.
With my we'll take it easy on you, okay?
I'm just embarrassed with my performance. It is what it is. The more that I've learned about golf, I feel like the worse that I've gotten at picking. So.
Yeah, maybe you just turn back the clock to just picking names that you liked.
That formula did work a little bit for me.
It worked better than the one you got going on right now.
Absolutely. No, it definitely did. We do have to talk about Scotty, though. I mean, another win. He shoots 19 under. The tournament was finished Monday morning because of suspension of play. This is his fourth win in the last five tournaments, obviously including the Masters. He finished top 10 at the Valero. If he just putted better, he probably would now be five wins in a row.
Finished number
two. Shot 69. What's that?
He finished number two at the Valero, and he yipped the putt to avoid the or to miss the playoff. I mean, it's crazy. The only person hotter on the planet is Nelly.
Nelly is, what is that, five in a row for her?
Yeah, Nelly, the female golfer, not the rapper. I don't know what he's doing. Acting now, I think. And see, is he in NCIS or what is he doing? No, that's LL Cool J. I'm getting them confused.
I have no idea what Nelly the rapper's doing. When was the? I don't even remember the last song he put out.
Me either. But we're talking about the other Nelly, and she's the only one that's hotter than Scotty on the planet right now. He's been incredible, and I don't really see anything slowing up. Luckily, in the Zurich this week, Scotty decided to take the week off, so he's going to give a pair another chance to win, or at least a single chance to win this season.
Yeah, it's very, very nice of him to do that. But he shot 69, 65, 63, 68 in the four rounds down at Harbor Town. And, you know, this is a question that's been raised a couple times, and I can't remember if we've gotten into it because, Tom, I got to be honest with you, my head has been spinning with all the fucking pods we've been doing. Like, I don't know how I have bandwidth or memory for anything. Like, I re-listened back to a Frenchie pod, and I was like, I don't even remember this conversation. So that
yeah,
was
we
a good
might
start.
Have to slow it down.
But, you know, one thing that has been brought up, at least casually, maybe not in the real golf world, but casually, is he's doing this in the current PGA, which, let's face it, is not as great from a field perspective as we've seen it in the past. You don't have Brooks. You don't have Rahm. You don't have, obviously, Bryson and all these other really good players, like Cam Smith, all on down the line that he's competing against regularly. It's still there's still a lot of really good players, not taking anything away from anybody. But it almost feels like the product is diluted to the point where it's kind of set up for one guy to kind of go on this run. Not everybody's capable of it like Scotty is, but I wonder, in your opinion, is he just this good and would be doing this anyway, or is he taking advantage of a slightly diminished field with the LIV players all gone?
No, I mean, that's why you only hear it from the ancillary people, because if you look at the data, I mean, just even with those guys playing the run that Scotty's gone on, he's just playing better golf than everybody else. So for me, it's just Scotty's at a different level, and it doesn't really matter who he's playing right now. If you look at shots gained and go through data golf and whatnot, that's why I like the real golf podcasts like us are not talking about it, because it doesn't matter who's out there. Scotty's beating him right now. He just did it in the Masters in his sleep.
Yeah, he did. And I think the question is okay to ask without it being disrespectful. But if he goes out and just completely terrorizes another tournament or two in the lead up to the U.S. Open, or the PGA rather, I think then it's like, if he wins the PGA and we're talking Grand Slam potential, like, where does this end? I mean, we're watching one of the best runs right now that, I mean, shit, we've ever seen.
Yeah, and I mean, it's got to be so tough because for the other golfers, because Tiger, it's like Tiger did whatever he had to do to win. So he would be like, by all accounts, especially early on in his career, a dick. And Scotty seems like the fucking nicest guy in the world, a boring guy. But he's like that guy where it's like you always want him at your party or whatever. He's not the first guy on the list, but it's like, oh, he's coming. Awesome. That's Scotty. And you can't hate that guy.
No, you can't hate it at all. You're right. He's not as demonstrative. He's not as flamboyant about the whole thing and fist pumping all over the place. I think that's why people made
We've all got
such a
that
big deal
friend where he's not your
yeah.
best friend,
no, you're
but
right.
he's in your group as one of your best friends. And it's like, you're not going to be like super angry if he's not coming, but you want him there. And if you hear he's coming, there's never a situation where you're like, oh, I wish, you know, he's going to ruin the vibe. Like, they're just
it's
the best.
Not the... Yeah, he's not the showstopper. He's not the life of the party. But you're going to look back and be like, oh, yeah, he was there. That was a good time.
Yep, exactly. And they're usually also the nicest guys on the planet, which Scotty is as well. So it's got to be tough, especially because he's a God guy as well, you know?
He is. Yeah, he's a God-fearing Texan. I really am enjoying the run of dominance that he's on. To me, I'm not bored by it at all. It's truly captivating to see how precise he is in every element of his game. It's like you said, the data backs up how dominant he's been.
No doubt about it at all. Sometimes boring golf can be very entertaining, especially when he's dominating at this level. Let's talk some Zurich here. This is a team event. I don't know how they score it, whatever, but you and I both have the list of the current team, so we're going to pick them.
We are, and obviously you're going to go first yet again because you keep winning. So go down your list.
All right, my first team is Rory, the newly, formerly, but newly and also formerly minted board member of the PGA Tour, even though he was already a board member in the shadows, McIlroy, and Shane Lowry. Patrick and Xander, the 5 o'clock hitters club, I can almost guarantee that they're on your list. I'd be shocked if they weren't. So the captain and the co-captain will be on my list. I have Kurt Kitayama and Colin Morikawa. Colin has been playing excellent lately. Disappointed to see Max is not playing in this event. And then I have as my winner, Joel Damon and Keith Mitchell.
Oh, I love it.
So do you have Xander and Cantlay?
Of course I have them. I don't have them winning. I have them in my pairings. We actually almost had all four. I have Rory and Shane Lowry as my winners.
I just feel like Shane seems like a real fun guy to play with, and Rory's going to have a blast with them and just try and go low. So that's a good pick to win.
The other teams that I have are obviously Cantlay and Schauffele. They're going to finish second because, of course, they will.
That would be perfect.
I have Morikawa and Kitayama. And then I also have Sahith and my winning pick from last week that didn't pan out even a little bit, Will Zalatoris.
I like that. I honestly did not see those two on there. I also would have had to stare at it. Well, hopefully, maybe you can get 4 points back this week. That'd be something. That'll get you cooking.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, man, at this point, it's like I'm just throwing darts at the wall. I've tried to be
if you get 4 points this week and then you win the PGA, that's 3 points right there. And then you tuck in a couple more wins by halfway through the season, you'll have come back.
I need one good week. It's just something to get me straight up because again, I wasn't even upset at you guys for giving me so much shit on Friday. I was like, I deserve it.
I mean, we had to, you know.
Of course, I would have done the same.
And listen, people need to be giving me shit for my picks of the day. I mean, in Picks Boss, I'm doing well, but picks of the day, I'm like 3-9 or something right now. So it's totally understandable. And I got the Suns tonight and they're losing. So we're going to have to sweat that one out.
Here's the thing with this podcast, especially since we brought Will on. You and I have always done a good job holding each other accountable. We're all three holding each other accountable. And the last part, too, is that, you know, we like to give each other a hard time because it's all out of love and we have to do that. So if it's called for and warranted, you got to keep doing it.
Of course.
When you guys brought back the Kirk Cousins memory, I mean, that's just never going to fucking die.
Well, yeah, that's just a classic. That's just a classic. But if you've noticed, I always do follow it up with me mentioning my LeBron prediction.
With your LeBron take, yeah.
Which I'll never forget. So I whenever you get thrown under the bus with the Kirk Cousins, I always bring up mine too.
This is our 420th episode. When you've done as much content as we have over the years, you're going to say some really stupid shit that you wish you could go back on.
Exactly. If you don't want to say anything dumb, then don't say anything at all.
And that's not the business we're in. So we took the week off from baseball. We got a lot of NBA. Tom, best of luck to your Knicks continuing in this series. And we got a lot of golf to cover. We'll get back on baseball once things slow down. But it's draft week, man.
It is draft week. We got a lot of more pods coming your way. We'll be talking to you guys soon. Enjoy the rest of the week.
Take care, everybody.